Do you know the five developments? So illusion being is all the information you can be aware of, right? We receive that information. We like process it through, they call it thinking, but it's like animals don't think. They still, like if you're like a gazelle, let's be gazelles, and you're like, I'm a gazelle. Right? And you're like, ooh, grass, good illusion being. Receive that. Great. And you look up and you see a lion. New information. You're going to process like, sheesh, it's a lion. And then you're going to act or react to that. That's act and react, right? Boom, run away. Or stand your ground, fight. Come at me, bro. Because I don't do that. So that's act or react. And then the feeling of that moment, your awareness of that reality is the feeling you get. So raining, that's the feeling. That's the awareness. Sun's out, full moon, that's the feeling. That's how weak we are. Illusion being influences our feeling faster than we have the ability to purify.
I'm not sure I understand when you said animals don't think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to think about how he's going to, you know, attack that gazelle or something like that, is it?
It's more like
don't cats think?
It's a processing of information, but it's not like if I chase it towards the ravine, I can catch him in the ravine. They're more like, I'm going to eat that. and they have instincts of how to catch it, but it's not like, oh, if I put a mirror behind it, it'll spook and run towards me. Like, it's not a thinking, like a human-style logical thinking. It's a processing of information through, like, subconscious. Kind of like how an athlete will play sport. They're not like, ball bounce there, that much spin in it. Yeah, they don't think, It's more like just a feeling of how to intuitively react to it. Thinking's too slow. Like in a fight, you don't think. It's more a feeling of, whoa, do that, do that.
But sometimes, for example, you see, like, dogs or cats that really, like...
They have some thinking.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but like, they're not, like, inventing stuff or, like... They're flat out fetching the paper. Like, that's pretty big thinking for a dog. That's a smart dog. If it can get the paper and bring it to you and hand it to you, you're like, that is a good dog.
Or the way they figure out how to open the door.
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
But at the same time, they can also catch their tail. Like, my dog used to go like, and then give up, and then like sneak up and do it again. And you're like, I was like, he's so smart. He's not that smart.
As much as they have some thinking ability, they're not that smart. Does that make sense? So the difference between like thinking in the like thinking chakra is what humans have, and in the five developments, it's not that level of thinking. It's processing. Like a fish sees a shark run away. That's a level of thinking, act, react. It's like processing the information. At whatever level that consciousness is at, it'll process it at its awareness level. Every life is different.
There's one in the five developments, purify, there's a sentence, Sifu said, there's one happens from brain consciousness, like illusion being, receiving, thinking, act, react, awareness. But one happens automatically, like Sean's saying, there's a subconscious one that happens automatically. So we're learning the brain consciousness version of like, what is that process? But it already happens anyway for every life. Just depend, like you said, different levels of calculation in there. Because if you don't have like a baby, Belen was talking about babies before, they don't have a brain, they don't have language to use the logic, to use the brain to calculate it. It just has to be subconscious. Does that help?
Good question. Very good question. Yeah. So that's the five developments. And the way, I think they're called, I think it's blind or combination life forms is one way that Sifu explained it once. They're called combination life forms because in each moment we're a combination of like the day we've had, the food we've eaten, the air we've breathed, the weather, you know, all the information we receive. Where our feeling is a mix of all of that. That's what makes us blind still. But when Sifu explained five eternal developments, it explained that that's one way it can go. Outside influences to inside. So that's like bad weather, bad mood. Good weather, good mood. You know, someone treats me bad, I'm in a bad mood. Someone treats me good, I'm in a good mood. Something good happens, good. That's so up, down, and we're out of control. We have no control of it. But awakened consciousness go the other way. They build strength in their heart, and that becomes their center. And then from that center, they process and change everything outside to match their pure heart. So their heart becomes the causation to influence outside. The heart is stronger than illusion being when we learn how to create and take control of our heart. But when our heart is influencing us, is influenced by the outside, we feel weak all the time. It's not so nice. Does that make sense?
Cool. There's some tips in there.
Well, I had a question.
Oh, yeah, question, sure.
So how do you make your heart the center? How do you make your heart, begin to make your heart stronger than the outside?
If you have a strong spiritual will, then you have good intention and you have the discipline to then follow that will.
What's a strong spiritual will?
So that's part of the work. It's not. It's the same as well. You are creating, and creating a will is correct, but the
magic's
details
in that, what the will is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everybody, but I'm not sure the definition of exactly will, just the spiritual, yeah, definition. So
that is correct, depending on part two of that answer.
Mm. Is it, can maybe the audience can help?
Yeah.
What, there are certain elements of a will that we know, we can kind of piece it together.
Does it need to be eternal?
It needs to be eternal. If it's temporary, that's not going to last long.
What does that kind of mean? Like, it has to be eternal.
Great
question.
Yeah,
that's a great
question. What is eternal? Because there are many things that are eternal. Like, illusion being is eternal changing. But if our will is eternally changing, will that help us not get lost by the illusion? We'll just eternally follow that illusion.
Like, what do you mean? Like, I don't understand the question.
Well, so, Hartshell said you have to have a will. And you said create something, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying you have to have a will. So now what we've decided is you have to create a will to follow all the time. And your answer was, we said, how do you know what a will is? Well, Tim's question was, what's a will? And you said it has to be eternal. So now Valerie's question is, what does that mean? It has to be eternal. How do you even create something that's eternal and a will?
It has to be online with eternal wisdom philosophy.
Eternal wisdom philosophy. Okay. Interesting.
So can you give us an example of what is not in line with eternal wisdom philosophy?
Like holding, like a will, for example. I could see a will that I want to be with someone all my entire life.
Forever.
Even beyond the grave.
Zombies! So that's not.
Yeah, that's not, right?
Even though it can be eternal, it doesn't match philosophy.
Say that again, it can be...
Like, you can create that will, but...
It's not a will.
It's not...
If it's not eternal, it's not a will. Yeah. What do we call that when it's not eternal?
It's a wish.
It's a wish.
It's a wish.
I wish to be with someone. Yeah. Until my body doesn't work anymore and I have to let them go.
So then, that's an interesting example, because it's like then... It's like, we think it's a will, but it's a wish. Eventually the body breaks down, or that person dies, or I die, or whatever, and then it's like, gone. So that... It was never going to become a will. It was always just going to change. A wish.
But for example, I don't know, like, I just had this idea. Like, my mom's will is to, like, whenever she dies, she wants to reencounter with my dad.
It's a wish.
But it's still, like a wish.
Yeah, I feel like, because it lacks the eternal wisdom part of it.
Yeah, I know, but...
Well, to make that, so that's not impossible, that is possible, but for her to be able to make that choice, she had to be able to decide where she was born this lifetime.
Yeah.
She doesn't have that. So then she has to be able to guide cause and effect to know where she's going to be born next lifetime.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible, but it's a consciousness with that ability wouldn't make that will.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you had unlimited awareness to read karma and see that, you wouldn't be like, I'm going to be born next to Tim next. Like, it's just a weird... You'd be more like, I'm going to train, I'm going to meet Tim next lifetime to build something for other. It wouldn't just be like, I want this for me because me and Tim are friends and we have fun together. Like, that kind of power, you wouldn't make a small wish like that. Like, I want to have the same dog. Like, yes. You'd be more like, how can I help every life? With that kind of wisdom, you'd see life more powerful than, I want a red car. Yeah, I am. Like.
I can throw in a story. Apparently, Siddhartha asked the energy kingdom, they had like all the most powerful energy gods, who wanted to be born as Siddhartha's wife in the next lifetime and every lifetime. And none of the energy gods put their hand up. But the forest king, basically one of the strongest, manliest energy god, said, that's my will to always be, wherever Siddhartha is born, I'll be born as his wife to support him. So it's like Siddhartha's there teaching eternal wisdom. So his will is to always be born there to support Siddhartha, teach eternal wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that will then becomes connected to eternal wisdom. Because there's no limit to that. That's unlimited consciousness, unlimited divide into unlimited spaces.
And it's also not about the person.
Yeah,
it's about the intention.
Yeah.
If you're going to share that wisdom every time you're born, then I'm going to be there to support you share that wisdom. It's not because you're awesome and you're always fun. It's nothing to do with the person. It's the intention for the will. So he can be born as Siddhartha in a human body, or he can be born in a dragon body sharing the same wisdom. That consciousness will do that again. Doesn't have to be human. Doesn't have to be Siddhartha. Can be any name. Any life form, but the intention to share wisdom is what makes it a will. Good story. Great story.
Cool. Just quite fun to learn more about wills. Sometimes we do classes on wills, and I'm like, I'm not sure.
Now we know what a wish is. Now we've got to come up with wish.
Okay, maybe I add, because eternal is a little bit confusing, because consciousness is eternal, because it never appears or disappears. So for something to change there, it's like it's there and then it's not there. Or it looks like it's there, but it's really not. But so consciousness never appears there, so it's eternally exist. That's one kind of eternal. And the other kind of eternal is eternal changing. So all this illusion, all this will change eternally. So both are eternal in those sides. If that kind of help. I don't know, I'll struggle with the word eternal.
But no, that's seem good. To help. Yeah.
Could you just say, that it's from a different definition, but like that it's all, that it's true in like all time, all space, and all situations? Could you say that it would be kind of eternal as well?
Maybe if it's graduated? Like if you make it, you make a will, and then you graduate that will.
No, you can, so you can make a will that is, like, to say it's true is tricky, because you might not have done it yet. Like Hare Buddhasava's will, he still hasn't finished, because there's still life not that aren't Buddha yet. But it doesn't mean he's not living in that will still. He just hasn't finished it. So to say true in all time, well, we haven't seen the future yet, but he's doing it now. He's been doing it for a long time.
But could you say like the intention is to be true, like?
Well, it's tricky, because for me, one of my wills is to go to Amitabha Buddha Pure Land, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once I've reached that and I become a Bodhisattva,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to not have that will. Like, I'm still going to go there, learn and share. I don't know. I don't have that wisdom yet. But I wouldn't say that's an eternal all-time will. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Once I've gone, had eternal birth once and reached Buddha level myself, then that will doesn't really make sense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That was more for me to actually reach that level. But once I reach that level, now my other wills would be stronger. So it's tricky, because it's eternity, and we think in like, today's Wednesday, tomorrow's Thursday, I've got a year to go. 80
years is our eternity.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, The Simpsons went for ages.
Yeah.
20-something seasons, come on. Yeah, does that answer your question a little bit? So to say it's eternal is more that you making this intention now, and you understand life is eternally, constantly changing, you recognize that potential, and your intention will not have to change. Because, so like for me to be like, I want to be famous, right? I become famous as Sean. Great, I'm famous. Sean's going to, this body will break. So the thing that's famous is temporary. The body will break and die. So I'm not going to be famous forever. That's
what about
I'm
your memory? The memory well, of
my Sean. Memory will live on. And I'll live on through my films. My films, Tim. Cherish my films. Do you know what I mean? So something like temporary wish, like fame, can't be eternal, because my body can't be eternal. It's not possible. Not with my wisdom. But for me to say eternally, I want to not take my bad mood seriously. Bang. That's a will. I can do that. I can do that forever. Whether I have the ability to do it now or in the future, the ability arrives, I can already start practicing that intention now. And I don't need to ever stop practicing that intention, because I always want to be observing self-being, not being guided by my blind feeling. Do you see where I'm going? So,
good question.
Mm.
Can we get off the reservation? Are we
I'm so lost.
We're eternal five developments, and then how do we create?
Yeah, so this is all because Hardshell said his mate Will, and now we're figuring out what a will is, and we now understand the difference between a temporary wish and an eternal will, starting to, at least, anyway. If a bad weather comes, I need a strong center to not let that push me down. Right? And the way you do it is by creating a willing heart, or a center, or internal pure land. You got any more?
Filter.
Coming up with ways to build that up. And so one way is to create a will, you said. And the way we create a will is you have to figure out something you can eternally practice, eternal intention.
Another one, if it's like challenging to think of that, you can shrink it down to what Sifu calls the setup. So it's like you go into a situation where you know something is going to be bad. Like my family's an example. I have a great time with them, but after a while, it gets a bit like
stale. Yeah,
it gets a bit stale. And then Mum was like, "When are you going to get married?" And well, you're probably not even going to get married or have kids. And then it's like she's crying, and I was like, I've been here 45 minutes. You know, tears.
The first 20 were great.
Yeah. So I keep it like short bursts before it gets to that. Sifu's like, okay, well, if you know in that space you're going to struggle to maintain a strong center and then just follow into that, you set up your intention as you go into it. You're like, right, well, I'm going to go in that situation. Typically, 99 times out of 100, I end up in a bad mood. So I know that. So to use that wisdom from Sean's, it's like, how do I control that self-being so that I share something bright? So that's the setup into that space. So you can like break it down into small moments, or you walk into the dojo, you're like, I had a crap day, but I'm not going to share that. I'm going to put on smart, happy. Yeah.
Game face, bro.
You know?
Or you can be the other way and walk in and go, all right, I'm going to walk into this place and everyone's going to be down and I'm going to be the strong person to bring them up. It's even harder. It's an even harder challenge. But it's harder to go into a room where everyone's down and not try to bring them up and not get pulled down. Mm. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah, you feel a bit of resistance and then you're like, well, that's it. I tried.
You guys be happy. I'll try. Sure. Let's kind of come up with a situation that is potentially challenging for us, and let's create a setup for us. How are we gonna? Oh, Tim,
okay. Can we all do like a word?
Ooh.
You know how you like go around to build a sentence.
Do you want to start?
Yeah. Okay. I.
No one understands.
Okay, so you go first.
I
went
to the
studio. To
play.
Music
with
my friend.
There we go. And then what happened?
My friend Will.
But there should be a but.
But Will.
He was
not
happy
with my
shirt.
No, we for sure. We can actually just put a normal example. I just like that.
It's a game. I can give an example. Now, every time I used to go to train with Sifu, I don't know if it was at a time where he was constantly in like struggle and in a sharp, angry mood a lot, or if it was that I was blind and annoying. I don't know. But I remember at the time I had this. Every time I'd go there, I'd get my ass kicked about something. So I've caught myself going to this state of like, fine, I'm just not going to interact. Like, I'm going to rock up, say yes, no, train, just be mute, or like a no personality, like just be neutral, because it's like you're out of the firing line, you know? But I found that really, it was hard to be motivated to go and be that. Like, it's not exciting. You're like walking in there, like you're trapped in this neutral character. So I made a will that I was going to, I made a decision that I'm going in there. I'm innocent, you know? I have done nothing wrong. So if you're going to blow up at me for nothing, that's on you. I remember having this feeling, like, because I lived with him, that's right. I was like, I can't be, like, down all the time. So I started being, like, just normal. And if he wants to pick a fight with me about something, then I'll ask what I need to learn and what I need to change, but I'm not going to be in this down state anymore. And he was so happy that I was like that. I think the thing that was putting him in a bad mood, that everyone was doing that. Everyone was so scared they'd get their ass kicked. They'd walk in and be like, hey,
yep,
cool, not. Yep, no, yep. Okay, whatever, yep, cool. Like, yep. No personality. And no one would actually connect to him. And it was like, yeah, when I started doing that, I noticed, like, he'd still blow up at me for stuff. Like, I'd make a stupid joke and he'd rip into me. But at least you can learn from that. But if you're too afraid to make a mistake, you can't learn. So it was like, but that decision was like through frustration of, it was annoying going in there and being heavy and down. So it was like, Yeah, I'm not going to let that be heavy and down anymore. My fear is not going to control me anymore. That was basically the end of it. I was afraid of getting my ass kicked. I was afraid of having an hour of training turn into an hour of being told how blind I am. So I made a decision to not be afraid and not follow that fear. So that's an example you can kind of work from. Yeah.
It took me a while to stop swearing. Anyway, it's this doing youth work, and all day I was going to the kids, they're like, all day.
They swear all day.
Like, all day. So I find now that I did find for a while, I was starting to swear again, and here and there. So, yeah, now I make a conscious will to, like, be strong enough not to let that influence me and just keep speaking without having to use that language.
Nice. Good luck. So, it's tough, eh?
Yeah.
So why? Why do you want to make that discipline?
Because it's not in a spiritual direction. So, it's, what do you call it? Gutter talk or something?
Gutter fist.
Gutter fist, yeah. Mm. So, yeah. And also, you know, it's also affecting the space around me. People probably don't hear it. They probably would hear something else, like a joke or something happy, rather than having to swear, hear swear words. So, that's another reason. And also, I don't want to, yeah, influence the, like, Jordan and people around in that way anyway.
Mm. Yeah, it's like you become part of that five developments for other people. So it's like, yeah, you're now sharing, so they're like, they're receiving that swearing. So it's like ricochets kind of all around.
Yeah.
It's the blind causation that's running. So you actually can be the reason that causation slows down or even stops or at least doesn't spread. But if you get pulled into it, we're just weak. Because we're around a lot of pollution, so we need to learn to stop letting that pollution influence us and then stop spreading it. Because I'm the same. I hang out with some people and catch myself swearing again. I'm like, ah, no. And it slips out so quickly. You're like, no! But we hope to be able to control our intention one day, and we can't even control speaking. Right?
Do straight center.
Intention, thinking, speaking, action, speaking are the last two links, and we still struggle with them. So that's where our wisdom, if we're serious about awakening, that's where it starts. It's not, I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that when I'm already awakened. Do you ever have that feeling? I'll fix that later. Yeah. That's too high level. I'll do that when I'm high level already.
Yeah. This is my level, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm okay here for a while.
Mignon.
And that's another blind ego, to think that I'll fix something later. Classic, but good example. Yeah. Does anyone else have one?
I have a question.
Sure.
Why is swearing against, like, in the other direction? Or why?
It's a good question.
Because when you understand why you shouldn't do something, the strength to be disciplined for it is stronger. But when you just get told, don't swear, and it's, I don't know, we just don't swear. It's this thing that, like, I'm in this crew and we don't swear. We also dance, we sing, but we don't swear. It's weird. I don't know why. It's hard to really find that from heart reason not to. But when you understand why.
I think it means that your vocabulary is getting, like, really narrow. You don't have all the words to express a feeling. You just swear instead of being more accurate with your wording.
It's on the way there. Basically, it's low level. And the reason it's low level is we have a lot of suffering because we can't be aware of our feelings. We just feel stuff and we blindly act. And part of that is observing them. And feelings are so broad that if we only have one word to describe them, we'll use that one word. So what Ben said, we're actually shrinking our ability to observe and be sensitive, to be aware of life. But the more we can observe ourselves, the more different ways we can observe and speak and discuss and use different words, then the more varied life becomes. So it's like one direction gets narrowed, and eventually you get, like, most people who swear a lot, they're not actually too smart. So they actually, it's like one way you get more aware of life, and the other way you actually get less aware. And it's, but it comes out, it's like, oh, it's just a swear word. Yeah, but if that's the only way you can describe a situation, I mean, most swear words are pretty versatile. You can use them in almost every situation.
Adjective, verb, describing word.
I was at a Penrith the other day, and the way they use them out there, I was kind of impressed. I was like, I never thought to put that one first and connect that. I was like, you know what I mean? But it doesn't actually relate to what was happening. And it also, from communication, it doesn't actually help that person understand anything. Mm-hmm. It's really, like you said, did you say before, it's a negative. You're sharing a negative feeling. So it's like you're not aware of the other person to even change. Like, we're talking about not sharing a bad mood. But if that's a harsh word for someone, and there are many swear words that are very harsh, it's like we pick to use that word and not even care about the effect it has on that other person. Rather than be like, this person is that way and I'm aware of them, how can I act to bring something positive or more joyful for them? Is that him? I'll give you an example. James, you know my friend James. So
great guy.
So I went to kindergarten with him. I've lived up the road from him. All right. So I was so excited to introduce him to Sifu. All right. He walked into Sifu's dojo and all the statues are there. And he opened the door and he was like, oh, F, they're effing amazing statues. And Sifu was there like, trying to shake his head. And I'm like this. And he's like, they're effing amazing. And I was like, oh. And he's like, oh, it's nice to meet you. Hey, I'm wondering whether you want to train upstairs in the garden. We walked out. I was like, that didn't go at all how I planned it. You know what I mean? And that was the way he was amazed. He's like, they're the most statues. But that kind of intention, that kind of speaking in front of those statues, for Sifu, he's like, he had to go upstairs because he said that for his karma, even though he doesn't understand Buddhism, he doesn't understand statues, bringing that intention towards those is not good for his karma.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, even though you're not aware of it, it still has an impact on your karma.
Yeah.
I was just like, I wasn't expecting him to do that, you know?
That same situation happened even if, let's say, if he wasn't even at the statues, or just like out on a Friday afternoon, or just...
Oh, he talks like that normally.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
It's okay. Every second word is F this, yeah, you know that.
Yeah. So the intention's still
it's just a rough intention. It's not necessarily a bad intention. It's just unaware. And it's like rough and careless. Like I taught this, like I had one guy, he was learning Qigong, and I said to him, I explained to him, oh, like when you reach high level in Qigong, you go into a moving meditation, become aware of like two extreme opposing forces, and showed him some martial art. And he was like, oh, this is awesome. I love this shit. Shit's not even that bad a word. But to use that to describe something that I respect so much, my heart just went, you don't value it. If you wouldn't call it that if you valued it. And I was like, oh, maybe don't call it that if you love it then. And and I just said it gently, like just a little nudge, like don't, because he knows I don't swear, so it was like weird. But it's a carelessness, like what Tim was saying. It's like you don't even care how the people are receiving those words. It's like Bell said, lack of ability to express yourself with other angles. Like if something smells awesome, and you just go, oh, it smells effing amazing. It's like, you could go, it smells beautiful the way this works with this, works with this. Someone who truly understands why something's brilliant will explain to you what they love about it. All of us like that. He'll sit there and go, oh, no, it's, and he'll like be bugging him for ages. He'll finally find the words to express it in a second language. That's because he takes the time to care to show that. But people who swear a lot are like lazy to express themselves and trying to get attention and rough and a little bit ugly. It's just a blind influence. But if you think about Sanskrit as a language, they have no personal. It's only to explain eternal wisdom, only to observe life. There's no, hey, how are you? Doesn't exist. It's just pure explaining Dharma, explaining wisdom, explaining philosophy to help other life awaken and be aware of life. For a language, that's beautiful. That intention is pure. There's no negative intention in that entire language. No negative words appear. But in English, because it's created by blind consciousness, it's evolved and can be used as a tool to explain wisdom, but it can also be used to disrespect, to be ugly, spread a negative message. It can be so many things. And the reason we don't swear is because we have to practice self-control, self-discipline, and to guide our karma. And speaking is one type of karma. And we need to learn to take control of that. So when you have people pulling you into negative conversation, that's a test. Can you be involved in it and not go into it? Or can you pull out of it? Sifu's student, Peter Gusan, from Switzerland, Sifu said he was already quite a natural Taoist heart. And Sifu and all the other students were sitting around talking about some girl. And they were like, oh, she's horrible. Oh, she's so ugly. Oh. And he just said, and Sifu said, what do you think of her? And he went, she's not my art. Same message, not into her, but in a way of, she's just not my style of art. It's such a harmony way of saying this similar thing, right? That kind of care and harmony for every life into every sentence you utter is a beautiful intention. Sensitive, loving, caring, respectful, and meaningful words. Your words always have credit. For that, I'm so low level. I can get pulled into negative conversations so easily. I always admire that. And when I went to Switzerland, everyone was sitting around this table, like, complaining about Sifu's intensity when he was in Switzerland, and they were all laughing about it. And he sat there silent for about probably an hour of everyone talking about stories where Sifu's done something and blah, 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 blah. And then he was like, but isn't it amazing that he's able to bring so many lovely people all together? I was just like,
which everyone just like,
everyone just went, yeah. Like, in such a sim, he didn't attack anyone. He just dropped a little penny in the jar and was like, well, honey, you guys are all talking shit about someone who's pretty awesome and a positive influence in your life. Think about it. Like, words can be so powerful. And they can be powerful in a positive way or a negative way. And the reason we don't swear is because we're trying to bring our intention, thinking, speaking, and action into perfect spiritual intention. And it's a long journey. There's a spectrum. We are at this end of the spectrum. To not swear is to not spread negative karma. So there's many reasons why we don't swear, but that's a very good question.
It's just interesting because he's like, he said, oh, that's not my art. Now, I've heard people say the same words, but can put personal, like, oh, that's not my art.
Not
same,
that.
Same words, but different feeling.
Mm.
So it's like the word, the swearing word is like, it's not just the word. It's like what is behind that word.
Because some people swear in conversation and it's kind of not so ugly. And like it floats by and you're like, oh, that wasn't so nice. But the intention wasn't so rough. But other people really emphasize those negative words. Like, that's the main adjective. That's the main verb. That's the main noun. That's what I was doing.
Sometimes it's the whole sentence. Like down at Coogee Bay, we were walking past Coogee Bay here, like, and that, the conversation, and that was just like its own sentence. And you're like, interesting. No nouns, adjectives, no description, just that.
I was in a yoga class once and we got to the end. We'd like done rounds and rounds and rounds of sun salutes and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, we all like crashed back into like a resting child's pose or whatever. And the teacher goes, and we've just got two rounds left. And this guy at the back just goes, oh. So much emphasis. Like, he was just exhausted. It didn't come across ugly. It just was hilarious. The whole room laughed. Everyone just cracked up because we were all feeling like, oh, come on, man. But he said it so well. So sometimes it's not as bad, but we're trying to practice not doing negative stuff at all. So, yeah.
I remember what was said now to me, that it was swearing is blind, speaking karma. And so that touched my heart at the moment. I was like, oh, just made very clear.
That's a Red Bull answer for sure.
Yeah.
So to the point, precise. You don't need to overcomplicate it. It's a blind speaking karma.
Yeah, pretty much. Shouldn't talk about that. It's got a fist. It's a blind speaking karma. And that just touched something that touched me straight away. I was like, we're trying to learn wisdom. And so why would I use something that's blind, a blind action, when I'm trying to, like, yeah, go in a spiritual direction? So, yeah, now I start to analyze it, but also observe it and think, yeah, there's no really way, you don't need to use it. There's, like I said, words are powerful. There's so many other words you could use to describe the situation or whatever it is better than that swear word. So why would I pick that word? Especially when it's not a spiritual direction. But yeah, there's three words: blind, speaking, karma. Just kind of never really thought about blind, speaking, karma.
Red Bull can sometimes just be like, that's not a question. Dunk! Oh, good answer. I should have known that somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. That question itself is blind. I was like, oh. It's like this, I was like,
yeah. I don't think I ever thought about what I spoke, what came out of my mouth. So that kind of changed after that word, so it was good.
It's like your body though. Like you can do some like really beautiful, elegant Tai Chi moves, or you can go and like do some really ugly training and ruin it, destroy it, you know? Like, similar concept, like your ability to articulate words and describe wisdom. We're still new at that. Like, we're flat out reteaching what we've learned from Sifu. Like, that is hard for us. Sifu can create poetry on the spot. So his ability to express and observe wisdom is miles ahead of ours. Same with our action. Like, our ability to move our body is still... There's so much awesome wisdom to learn, connect to, and develop. Why waste it on negative, blind, ugly stuff that takes you in a bad direction, you know? It's a great topic. This is great.
Did you
were going to say something?
Well, I had a follow-up question. So if someone comes to the space and they do swear, like, how do you like you said, it's not bad, good for their karma. How do you, in a harmony way, like, let them know? Because I have clients coming to...
In front of statues.
Yeah. In front of the images, like... But question. I don't know how to say...
I had this girl, Amanda. You've met Amanda.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's lovely, but she's so, like... She'll
drop an F-bomb.
She'll drop an F-bomb, a C-bomb, and she just is... She's direct to the point and very...
Yeah, just like rolls off tongue.
Yeah.
Nice.
I had her here, I was needling her here, and she was face down in the table, and I was needling her, and she, every second word for a full sentence was, and I just said, oh, look, like, in this space we practice wisdom, you know, we try not to swear, so if you can, like, lay off the swearing, like, just while we're here, you can say shit, just don't say the F-bomb, like, we practice correct speech, though, that's one of our disciplines, so, and if they can't do it, I just take them back to the house, and even there, it's still medicine Buddha, but... I figure my intention is to help them fix their back, or they're not learning from me as a teacher like that.
Yeah.
So it's okay, but especially in the dojo, I would try and minimize who I bring here if they're going to swear. And I said to her, oh, can you not? And she was like, yeah, sorry, yeah, sweet. Lasted a whole session. And then, like, in the last thing, she dropped an F-bomb and went, oh, and then did, oh, did it get wrong? It's just like, just stop talking.
Push the ball into the last minute.
She was like, I'm so sorry, I completely dropped the ball. She was like, I didn't realise I was so bad. It's not until you try and stop that you realise how bad you are.
Yeah, and that's interesting, right? Because, like, not until you try and stop, you're like, oh, actually, I'm not even free to choose my own words. It's just like, it just comes out.
It's blind habit, yeah. So it's also an interesting test for people when you say that to them, you see how they react. Because, like, Hardshell, he got told that and he was like, oh, cool. And it made him observe his life more. Other people might be like, we had one guy who was in the dojo getting treated by a giant dog. And he, I can't remember, I think he called Sifu a B word or something, like, basically, oh, Sifu was folding clothes and he called Sifu a washerwoman, like, something like that. And Sifu, like, stomped around the dojo for a while and then came back and, like, stood over him while he's getting a massage and was like, all these people come here to learn from me. They show respect. So they would never dare use that words with me. So you want to come and learn, you want to come and get treated by one of my students who's learned my healing system, maybe show respect to the teacher as well. I don't care. It's just bad for you. And he walked out and he was like, I come here to relax. This is not relaxing. Like, he was just having a massive whinge and then started swearing. And I was just like, yeah, you can't swear either. And he's like, oh, I'm done. This is just not relaxing at all. And he was just, his ego couldn't handle it. And he's married into quite a wealthy family. You know John Simon?
Oh, yeah.
That was Ed. John Simon's his son's partner.
Oh,
so
yes,
he's
got
a lot of money, a lot of power, a lot of ego. In his whole life, everyone would treat him like he is the bee's knees. This was the first time anyone had put him on an equal playing field and then actually pointed out, actually, for all these other reasons that you can't buy, you're not the boss here. Like, it was kind of a little ego reversal, like, bang, checked it, couldn't handle it. And at the end of the day, if someone's not willing to change their ego or follow logic, don't waste too much time with them, because, like, that's not worth wasting your time on. They're not going to learn anything and they're actually going to bring more negative to your life. So it's a test in a way. It's scary with clients because you're like, I earn money off you, but I also have disciplines for my life. But in your own heart, you need to decide, do you value the money they pay you more or your spiritual intention or helping them actually awaken? And these are more decisions we have to make from deep in our heart.
Yeah, good. Because you don't have to add stress to it either. It's like you're not responsible for their spiritual development. You know, and they're their own main course at the end of the day. So it's like you can find a way, you know, like you said, you find a way to help their back in that situation, but they're not here to learn spirit. So it's like you don't add stress to it, but it does help you to observe and go, like, you can put a little test in there just to see, oh, are they interested or not?
Hmm.
Many people are not.
No. Or they'll be respectful of it, but you can see them go, that's weird. Yeah, like, well, it's weird that you don't observe why you say what you say or what you speak. You know, it's one angle to look at it as weird that we don't swear. Another angle is to look at it, well, there's no reason to do it, yet you keep doing it. To me, that's weird, you know? And it's like a consciousness level kind of question. Like, James, lovely guy, love that guy, wish he would learn. But if he's naturally rolling that kind of language, you're like, this is a lot of work to change this.
Yeah, it's just so nice.
A snowball, yeah.
And the family do it, and it's just like wherever he's around, that happens. And it's just like, yeah, no. And I'm like, man, you swear a lot. And he's like, oh, shit, sorry. And you're just like, why don't I even, you know, if I had not said that, he probably wouldn't have added more. So I was like,
I said that. I was like, oh, you swear a lot. And he's like, yeah, you get used to it.
Who's this? Like,
oh. That did not turn out well.
Is that Craig?
No, it's
someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. With your customers like that, they're not our students. They're not learning wisdom. It's only people that are learning Qigong and Buddhism that we really push. But anyone else, it's just... If you're going to swear, I can't bring you to the dojo. I'll take you to another healing space or come to your house. I'll come to you. Your language is that bad, I'm going to come to you.
Yeah, acupuncture points for the jaw. Yeah. Just do a couple of those. Those are really good.
You swear a lot. I'm just going to put these there. You don't have... Do I still need them? Do you still swear? Yes. Then yes. That's a lot. We've kind of danced across a few topics. But so how do we create internal center, Pure Land, filter? What were the other words? Center gear, center. Yep.
Center station.
You said discipline to follow... Wisdom or like a wise choice.
Wise choice is the first step. You have to be able to go, I'm not going to let my feeling control me. I'm going to make the wise choice to control my feeling. At least be aware of it and control it. Level one. Then you can recreate it. But you've got to have wise choice to guide it. So yours was create, right? So if you don't have wise choice to not follow what's already been created, how are you going to recreate? It's like you've got an ugly painting. And you're like, I'm going to recreate a new painting. You need to be able to get rid of that ugly painting. Start with a fresh canvas. Now I create something new. Happy moods. Yeah. Best day ever. Even though it's raining, I'm singing in the rain. It's not in there.
Yeah, cool. Kids see a puddle and they jump in it. It's like hours of fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't have gumboots, so I couldn't do it. But I'll buy gumboots.
Bruce going to send us the link.
Yeah. Welly.com.
Yeah.
Kids in a soccer ball on level 3 playing in the hallway were frothing.
Oh, yeah. You were there. Looked over there. It was like, boom, 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 boom.
So amped. I was like, I wish I was that easily entertained. I need, like, overseas trips. I need toys. I need cars. I need surfboards. I've got all these complicated reasons to enjoy life. Okay, so child heart, wise choice, create. Will, don't swear. And Daniel's been relatively quiet. So yeah. We'll...
Can you share one? What have you got? I'll wait to have a strong centre throughout the week. You're going to go off into the week.
Strong centre will Monday. We all know what Monday was like. I haven't bowed for a while. So remember, you sent me the 5 statues, so I bowed then. And then... I ended up doing Ching Kun 7 times.
Switch from a Monday, like, it's Monday, into a Monday.
Yeah.
Nice.
So in that one example, he's gone from being in a bad mood, he's made the wise choice to not let the bad mood control his whole day. He's recreated a philosophy to bow and Ching Kun. That's like, that's a home run, buddy. Well done.
First one be observing, because sometimes you don't even know that you're in a bad mood. 100%.
To be fair, I always know I'm in a bad mood, but I mean, I can't speak for everyone. Do you always know you're in a bad mood?
No, the philosophy Sibby shared a long time ago was stop, observe. Because it was like, if even when you start to observe, you're still kind of in that mood doing the observing, but if you just like have a pause for a second, observe, wise choice, it's like very quickly puts the brakes on any potential bad mood. I'm in a bad mood for a long time before I pick it up.
I am, all right. I always catch you when you're aware of it and you're like, you can like, no, I'm just going to go on deep in myself mode, so I never know how long.
Yeah, I'm in the changing. I'm in the changing mode, you know.
Sometimes I don't know that I'm in a bad mood after a long time that I've been in a bad mood.
That's normal. Some people do that their entire lives. So that's good.
I know straight away when I'm in a bad mood because I have voices that I refuse to follow, but they say some really, really rude stuff and I'm like, I'll be like laughing at how rude I am. I'm like, whoa, that's enough. I very rarely will say it unless something really pushes me over the edge, but I've got a pretty good like barrier where there's this inside voice just running, and I'm like, ooh, don't say that. Do not say that. Yeah. Great class, guys. That was very... Yeah, sure. Yeah.